Shalom to all. Today's Avos Cholon Daf Samach Vav, and we're starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's Avos sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mimsar, Bas Yaakov Moshe, Hernish, Shamash, and Havin Aliyah. Now, we were right in the middle of quite a detailed discussion regarding grasshoppers with the different brasses that the Gemara is going to mention right now. And both of them were discussing the main pasuk regarding grasshoppers. The pasuk lists four different types of grasshoppers: Arba, Salam, Chargal, and Chagav. And after each mention of one of these words in the pasuk, it adds on the word Leminai or Leminehu. And so there's discussion, what are we learning from there? And that's what the Gemara asked. What's the machlokes between these two brisos? The reason why we're calling the first brisa Tanya de Bei Rav is because it was a brisa taught in all the Bati Midrashim, and de Bei Rav just means a general base medrash. Everyone knew this brisa, whereas the second brisa, which is Tanya de Bei Rishmal, was a brisa that was unique to the base medrash of Rishmal. Really, only his Talmidim knew it and discussed it, and it wasn't as widespread as the first brisa. So the bottom line is, what are they arguing about? And the answer is, Barosha Archamiflagi, specifically regarding this last case that the previous Gemara was discussing, a long headed grasshopper. Tanya de Bei Rav Savar, the first brisa, Tanya de Bei Rav, that holds, and when the first pasuk describes grasshoppers and it tells us, Asher loy kra'ayim, that has kra'ayim, which we've been translating as jumping legs. What is that? Kalal. That's just a generalization. Then when the pasuk says, Arba salam chargal chagav and leminehu, as we said in the introduction, that there are these four different types that are mentioned, and each one has the word leminoy or leminehu afterwards. So prat, that's a specification. What do we learn from here? Klalu prat. This is a classic klalu prat, and in b'chlal el mashe prat. The only thing that's included in the klal is something which is like the prat, demine in, delav demine loy. Only if it's min, then fine. If not, then it's not good. And umar b'didami le mishneid stadin. Therefore, the time of this brisa is only including, that was just similar to it, in both ways, namely the only things that are included in Arba Salam Chargal and Chagav are things that are exactly like Arba Salam Chargal and Chagav, and since none of these are long-headed, therefore long-headed grasshoppers are not included. However, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel holds Asher Lekra'ayim Klal, that's generalization. And when it says Arba Salam Chargal Chagav Prat, that's specification. And then here's the difference, Leminehu Chazavar Kalal. The word Leminehu is once again another Klal, according to Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. And therefore, what do we have? Klalu Pratu Klal. And how do we darshan that? Yatadon Elokeinu Prat, that which is being included in the second Klal, is that which is similar to the Prat. However, it's more inclusive. That's because we have another Klal. And therefore, Marbi called it Domile B'chad side, we can include anything that's even similar in one way. And since long-headed grasshoppers are similar to all the other grasshoppers in as much that they have the four main features, four legs, four wings, two jumping legs, and their wings cover the majority of their body. So even though they have a long head, and these other four that are mentioned in the Pasuk do not have a long head, it doesn't make a difference. They could still be included because they only have to be compared in one way, not in both ways. But now we ask on this, hold on. Mahali Domi Klal Kamal Klal Basra, the first Klal is different than the second Klal. Why is that? Klal Kamal Asher Lekra'ayim Amar Rahmano, the first Klal of this Pasuk is Asher Lekra'ayim. It has these jumping legs. That's what the Torah says. That's Mashma, the Islay Achol, the Laslay Loisechol. If it has them, you could eat it. If it doesn't have, you can't eat it. But then Klal Basra, what's a second Klal? That's the word Leminoi or Leminehu, and that's Mashma Adashavu Barba Simonim, that they have to have all four main Simonim in order to be a Kasher grasshopper. So how could you even say that this is a Klal Pratu Klal? The first Klal and the second Klal are two different types of Klalim. And the answer is the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Mechali Prati Kegavnadayin. The Tanya Rabbi Shmuel doesn't have a problem with this. They darshan Klal Prat like this, that even though the first and second Klal are different from each other, not a problem, you could still darshan them. And with Amrin and Namin Ba'alma, the Dain Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Mechali Prati Kegavna, that's what we say elsewhere as well, meaning in other places in Gemara where we see that Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Darshan's Klal and Prats like this, Mehacha, the main source from that, is from here, and so this is actually not a problem. Now we continue describing part of the Brisa. Our Meir was stated in the Brisa, bring up the last word that says in the Pasuk, Chagav, and we learn from there that a grasshopper in order to be kosher has to be called a Chagav. So then the Brisa said, Ishmai Chagav, if you want to say, if you find someone who's called a Chagav, well, Yachal, Ein Bekal Simon Malalu, you might think that even if it doesn't have the four main Simonim, it would still be kosher because it's called a Chagav. And to that, Tamalaimer, that's why the Pasuk says, Leminehu, and we learn from here, Ache Bekal Simon Malalu, it has to have all these Simonim, meaning it's not good enough just to be called Chagav. It also has to have the four main features of a grasshopper. But now we ask a question on this Havamina. How could you even have a Havamina that as long as it's called a Chagav, it would be Kasher, even though it doesn't have the other features of a Kasher grasshopper? If it doesn't have these other Simonim, it doesn't have the four main features, then where would you get to say that it would be Kasher just because it's called Chagav? Arbev Chargol Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Arben Chargol, and those have the four main features, and we already learned from there that any grasshopper that you want to say is Kasher has to have features similar to them. So how are we able to have even a Havamina that if you have something called a Chagav, but it doesn't have features that are like Arben Chargal, that it would be kosher? It simply doesn't make sense. The Gemara answers, no. Eloksiv Salam Kiduka Amrit. If the Pasuk didn't say the word Salam and it only said Arben Chargal, you're right, you would not be able to have a Havamina that a grasshopper that doesn't have the four main features is kosher. But Hashachsiv Salam L'Rubui Rosh Arich, now that we have the word Salam that includes a long-headed grasshopper that is kosher, I might say L'Rubi Nami Kaldahu, then not only am I including a long-headed grasshopper, I'm also including anything else. If it has anything similar to any of the other grasshoppers, meaning even if it's just called Chagav, perhaps that's also included that it's kosher. Kamash Malan, that's what the Pasuk's telling us, Leminehu, then no, it also has to have the four main features in addition to being called Chagav. Now, which is included with a seeming stira in between the two brises. Mashna Hasam, the Amrit, Solom is the Rasha and Chargal is the Nipol. Why is it in the first brisa? It says that Solom is the Rasha in type and Chargal is the Nipol type. And Umashna Hachad, why over here by brisa Tanu Bishmal, the Amrit that you say, Solom is the Nipol, Chargal is the Rasha, it's the opposite. And the answer is not a stira, Markias or Markiasre. Each man to Amr of the brisa is just saying what is called in their area. It's really referring to the same exact grasshopper. It's just that somehow the names got switched. And in one locale, one area, one place, the Solom was known as the Rasha, whereas in the other one, the Solom was known as the Nipol. And the same thing with the Chargal. Now we're going to the next part of Mishnah. We had said, Ubidogim Koshesh Lai Snapir, but Kaskas says, and with fish, anyone that has a snapir, which we translate as fin, and Kaskas, which means scale, as long as the fish has a fin and a scale, then it would be kosher. Now, even though I'll be strict halacha, it only has to have one fin and one scale, hence a singular term, snapir. But Kaskas says, it's more standard just in regular conversation to say fins and scales, and that's what we're going to end up saying as well. But again, I'll be the strict halacha, just has to be one fin and one scale. Either which way, the Gemara tells us, Tanabon, we have a braisa, Eli Achshav, Asalagal Acharzman, if it doesn't have fins and scales now, but eventually it's going to grow them. Kigain, Asaltanus, Va'afion, for example, these two types of fish, Hariza Mutter, it's permitted, it's fine. Also, Yashlai Achshav, if it has fins and scales now, Va'asalah Shir and Vishash Alam and Amayim, it's going to end up shedding them when they get brought out of the water. Kigain, for example, Samach Vavon Bez on top, Akunos, Va'afunos, Kesvetios, Vachsvetios, Va'atunos, all these types of fish, which Rashi says is the Persian term for them, Hariza Mutter, so these fish are also permitted. We continue discussing Tanah Hasan, we have Mishnah over there, there's Mesechas Nida, Kosh Yashlai Kaskases, Yashlai Snapir. If it has scales, so you know for sure that it has fins and it's kosher. Whereas the Yesh, Yashlai Snapir, Va'in the Kaskases, there are fish that have fins but no scales, and that would be not kosher. The Gemara now discusses this. Yeshle kaskases v'yeshle snapir. If it has scales and fins, dog tar, it's for sure kosher. Yeshle snapir v'enle kaskases. If it has a fin and no scale, dog tummy, you know it's not kosher. Now mechle, let's see. Akaskases k'samchinon. We're relying on the scale. The main thing is if it has scales, so you know it has fins and it's kosher. So if that's so, lechle v'rachman kaskases v'loy lechle v'snapir. The tar should only write kaskases and it shouldn't have to write snapir, because once it has kaskases, you know it has snapir. So why mention snapir in the first place? Because if it just has a snapir, no kaskases, it's not kosher. And the answer is that ikas rachman kaskases lo kasav snapir. If it only write kaskases and not snapir, Havamina, I would think, my kaskases, what is kaskases? Snapir. That actually the translation of the word kaskases means a snapir, a fin, and vafilu dog tame, and then I would say that even a non-kosher fish is really kosher because it has a kaskases, which we're mistranslating as snapir. Therefore, kas rachman snapir vikaskases, the Torah writes both words, snapir and kaskases, and then we know for sure that one of them means scales, so it has to have fins and scales. Ask more still, it's not good enough, because vahashu kas rachman snapir vikaskases, now the pasuk wrote snapir and kaskases, mimai the kaskases levushahu. How do you know the kaskases is levush, is the garment, if you will, of the fish? Because again, we're translating kaskases as scales, and scales are really the garment of the fish. And how do you know it? Because the pasuk says, "Vishirian kaskasim hu lavush." This is regarding Gallius. He was wearing a shirian, a coat of armor that was made out of kaskasim. And as we had just said, a person wears a coat of armor which is made up of scales of kaskasim. That's how the olden day armor looked. And so we see from here that that's what kaskasim are. Well, then v'lechtem rechman kaskasim v'lechtem snapir. Once again, we go back to this question. Let the Torah just write kaskases and doesn't have to write snapir, because we have from this pasuk that the word kaskasim means scales, and so there's no reason to write the word snapir. So Ravo, he answers, this is a quote of a pasuk, which the Gemara is using to tell us that you're right. Even though technically the pasuk didn't have to write snapir and kaskases, it could have just written kaskases, also based on this pasuk that we had just quoted, v'shirin kaskasim ulavosh, still, lahagdol tar v'adir, to make Torah great and amplify it, it is anyway brought, this is perhaps to prevent confusion to somebody who doesn't know the pasuk, a number of other explanations as well. The bottom line is that technically you're right, the pasuk doesn't have to say kaskases and snapir, but this is lahagdol tar v'adira. Now continue discussions regarding things that are in water. Now before we continue, it's important to read a few psukim that we have, because up until now we've just been discussing plain old regular fish. If it has fins and scales, good. If not, then you can't eat it. However, the psukim are more detailed, and there's also a whole bunch of other things that we'll call aquatic creatures, as the pasuk calls them sheretz hamayim, that which crawls or creeps in the water, that are included in this discussion. And even though they're not necessarily considered fish, still we have to have a conversation about them. Are they allowed to be eaten? And this is obviously very relevant. Many times we have discussions regarding bugs in water. Are you allowed to drink those bugs? Are they a problem? Are they not? Says this sugya right here. So let's read two psukim. One pasuk tells us, "Ezet toichlu mikol asher b'mayim." From this, you're allowed to eat anything that's in the water. Kol asher lo yisnapir v'kaskases b'mayim. Anything that has fins and scales in the water. Bayamim u'banecholim, in the seas and streams. Oisam toichelu, those you may eat. The next pasuk says, "V'kol asher ein lo yisnapir v'kaskases b'mayim u'banecholim." Anything that does not have fins and scales in the seas and the streams. Mikol sheretz hamayim u'mikol nefesh achaya asher b'mayim. From all the creeping things in the water and any living creatures that are in the water. Sheketz heim lochem, they are sheketz, are abomination to you, and therefore you're not allowed to eat them. So we see two different psukim. The first pasuk says that if it has fins and scales in yamim and nechalim, pay attention to those words as well, seas and streams, those are things that you're allowed to eat. And the next pasuk tells us that if it doesn't have snapper kaskases, it adds in the word sheretz hamayim. Chaim. And again, use these words again, Yam Menachalim, those you are not allowed to eat. So now knowing this, the Gemara tells us, Tanabar, we have a Brayso. Mimashu Shenamar, Echal Shiyashloi, from the fact that we learn from the Pasuk, that you can eat that which does have, meaning it has fins and scales. Shemeani Al Taichal Ashayloi. I learn from there that if it doesn't have fins and scales, you can't eat it. And Mimashu Shenamar, from the fact that we can learn from the second Pasuk, Al Taichal Shayloi, don't eat something that doesn't have fins and scales. And Shemeani Echal Shiyashloi. Then I can learn from there that you could eat what does have fins and scales. So Vlamishnan, why does the Pasuk repeat them? Why do we have the first Pasuk saying if it has fins and scales, you could eat it? And the second Pasuk telling us if it doesn't have fins and scales, you can't eat it? The answer is Lavar Al Basev Al Isa Say. It's going to teach us if a person eats something that doesn't have fins and scales, he's going to be over in Asay and Alois Asay. The Pasuk continues, the Pasuk says, Toichlim Kol Asher B'mayim. This is in the first Pasuk that you could eat everything that's in the water. The question is, Matam Aloimar, what's it teaching us? The Pasuk is repetitive. Right in the beginning, it says, Ezet Toichlim Kol Asher B'mayim. And the end of the first Pasuk tells us, Oysam Toichelu. So why this repetition? And the answer is, Shiyachol, you would have thought as follows, Hoyl V'hetr M'farsh V'hetr M'stam. Since there's a heter B'feirush and there's a heter B'stam. And here's where we're talking about different creatures or bugs or worms of sort that live in the water, really are generated in the water. And we're not talking about fish over here. And since we see a heter beferush to eat them and also a heter stam to eat them, and we're going to see soon where exactly that heter is found in the pasuk, but let's just take it for granted that these water bugs or water shrutzim are allowed to be eaten. So I might say the makshe heter beferush, lay heter ela bekalim. That just like when there's a beferush heter to eat these or drink them, that's only when it's in kalim, meaning when they grew, they developed in water that was in kalim. For example, if you have a barrel of water that's just sitting there and you open it up and you find worms and bugs and whatnot inside it, so that's actually mutter to drink. So too in the Torah was mater stam. The heter is only to have these things if they're in kalim. How do I know to include that one's allowed to have these water shrotzim even if they developed in bar shichin ma'aris, which is pits, ditches, and caves, meaning even if they weren't actually in a kli, they weren't in a barrel or a cup or a pitcher or something like that, but they're in a hole that's in the ground, still that you're allowed to bend down and drink from them and you don't have to hold yourself back. And so to that, Tamalarmi, the pasuk has this repetition and it says, and this tells us that not only if the water sherets, this bug, developed or germinated in a cup, pitcher, or kli of some sorts, that you're allowed to drink it, but even if it developed in a pit, ditch, or cave, in water that's in this hole in the ground, still you'd be allowed to eat it. Now we clarify, where is it that we find this heter in the first place regarding these water shrotzim that developed in kalim that one's allowed to drink from them? That's because the pasuk says, that's the beginning of the first pasuk. And remember we had pointed out, it says the words, bayam banachalim, in seas and streams. What do we learn from here? Bayam banachalim, hudichi islay echol delesay loy seichol. It's only if this creature is in a yam, a sea, or a nachal, a stream, like a river or something like that, that if it has fins and scales, you can eat. If it doesn't have fins and scales, you can't eat it. But that's mashma, habakalim, afalgav delesay echol. If it's in some sort of kli, even if it doesn't have fins and scales, you're still allowed to eat it. That's a drasha from this pasuk. Ask the Gemara, Ema, why not say the other way around? The bakalim, afalgav de islay loy seichol. That if you found the swimming creature inside a kli, even if it has fins and scales, you're not allowed to eat it. In other words, maybe the pasuk is being machmir and it's telling us that the only type of fish that you're allowed to eat that has fins and scales is if that fish is in yamim or nechalim, not anything else. So the Gemara Lysakadai, don't think that. Because the pasuk then says, this is the next pasuk, that if it doesn't have fins and scales in the yamim and nechalim, kol shar tamayim, and so what would we learn from here? The opposite. B'yamim and nechalim, delesle loy seichol, habakalim, afagav delesle, achol. Then the yamim and nechalim, if it doesn't have fins and scales, you're not allowed to eat it. But if it's not in yam nechalim, it's in kalim, it's just in regular vessels, a cup, a pitcher, a barrel, whatever it is, then even if it doesn't have fins and scales, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So we have the exact opposite diuk from the next pasuk. The Torah is asking, Ve'ema, why not say as follows? Bamayim klal. When the pasuk begins and says anything in the water, that's a klal. Then when it says bayam b'nechalim, seas and streams, prat, that's specification. What do we have here? Klal uprat, and that tells us, Ema klal, masha uprat. The only thing that's included in the klal is something which is like the prat, namely, yam b'nechalim in, ni'itzim v'charitzim loy. There are only different things that are found specifically in yamim and nechalim. Those are allowed to be eaten, if they have fins and scales, but if something's found in ni'itzim and charitzim, then it's not to be eaten. The general translation of ni'itzim is ponds, and charitzim is like ditches or canals. The key of these two things is that they're fed by their own source of water, either from underground or from somewhere else, but again, it's fed by a fresh source of water on its own. And so maybe we should learn from here that even if you have a fish that has fins and scales, but it's found in ni'itzim charitzim, it's not kosher, you're not allowed to eat it, only if it's in yam menachalim. Says the Gemara, no, because by mayim, chaz v'kolal. The pasuk once again says the word mayim, as we said, it repeats itself, and so that's once again a klal, it says a klal prat to klal, and therefore we're able to include fish that have fins and scales, even if they come from ni'itzim charitzim. Ask the Gemara, hani trei klal v'smich ladadinu. That's two klalim that are right next to each other. In other words, it's first two klalim and then a prat. It's not klal prat to klal, because what does the pasuk tell us? Ezet toichlu mikol asher bamayim, klal number one. Kol asher lo snap kaskasas bamayim, klal number two. Then it says bayam banachalim, which is the prat. And so it's not a klal uprat to klal, that's a klal klal uprat. So how are you darshing it as a klal pratu klal. So I'm reviewing the answers because I'm my rav. It's like what they say in Eretz Yisrael. Anytime you find two klalim next to each other, on top, you now cut and paste the klal and you drag it in between them, and you judge them as regular klal pratu klal. And therefore we say as follows, b'mayim klal, b'yom b'chalim prat, then b'mayim chazver klal is once again a klal, klal pratu klal, that's a klal pratu klal. What do we learn from here? Yadon el kena prat, the only things that are included are that which is similar to the prat, ma prat mefarish mayim noivim, just like the prat over here, which is yamim and chalim, that's mayim noivim, it's water that comes from a spring, from a fresh underground source, av kol mayim noivim, so to anything which is mayim noivim, and my rabbi, so what are we including? Charitzim u'neitzim le'isura, that anything that we have in charitzim and itzim, these ditches or canals and ponds, that if it doesn't have fins and scales, it's a sharet hamayim, so that would be asur. So my miyut, what are we excluding? Meaning there's no problem of eating it, even though it doesn't have fins and scales, that's bar shichin m'aris l'teira, that if this water sharet is found in bar shichin m'aris, that is mutter, because it's not included in this kol pratu klal. As the Gemara of Ema, why didn't I say that ma prat m'farsh ma'im gdel magabi karka, that just like the prat in the pasuk of yam min chalim, that refers to water which is on the ground, af kol ma'im gdel magabi karka, so to any water which is on the ground, that would also have a problem with sharet of ma'im, and my rabbi, what would that be including? Afilu bar shichin m'aris l'isura, that even water that's in bar shichin m'aris would be usur, because this is water which pooled on the ground, as we had translated the first couple of times, bar shichin m'aris is pitch ditches and caves, and there's water pooled in this spot, and that's on the karka, so maybe any water shrotzim which developed in bar shichin m'aris would actually be usur, and my miyut, so what would the miyut be? Miyut kalim, the only miyut, meaning the only exclusion from this whole drasha would be kalim, so only if a water sheretz developed in a kli would it be mutter to drink, but again if it developed in bar shichin m'aris, maybe it should be usur, says the Gemara, no, because im kain, if that's what you're going to darshin, toichlu mayahani lei, well the extra word of toichlu come to tell us, it must be that's also including bar shichin m'aris for the heter, that as long as these bar shichin m'aris are not fed by their own fresh spring, by their own underground water source, and it's just plain freestanding water in bar shichin m'ara, it has the same exact din as kalim, and if a bug developed inside of it and didn't crawl out of it, and the bug didn't come from outside and fly into it, but again it developed from inside the water itself, so as long as you're not finicky, you're not grossed out by it, no problem, you could drink it 100% fine. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this with another brisa, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.